Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pasillo in Southern California. I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
And this is General Galen Shaw. And this is the Phil Henry Show. So, thank you, General. Phil, you going to tell the story?
Oh, Phil, you've got to tell the story.
I'm going to tell the story.
Yeah, well, I don't think you should.
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because that's exclusive content for subscribers.
What are you talking about?
Wait a minute, Bud's got a good point. Welcome to the show, folks. Bud has a good point.
What good point does this nut...
You're telling me that story you told during the pre-show, where you escaped the jaws of death, you're not even going to tell the...
I didn't say that.
I don't think you should, Mr. I think you should keep it exclusive.
Come on, man. I mean, the whole reason why people listen to the podcast...
Wait. Bud's got a good point. We have a... we have a subscriber base that I respect, that I love, and that, they're the guys that drive this machine. And the story that I told them...
Why don't you knock it off and get to it?
Okay. Anyway, as I was coming back...
Well, build it up a little bit, Phil.
All right. It all started...
No, get right to the thing.
Hey, guys, shut up and let me just do it. Welcome to the show. And what happened to me...
Well, it's not going to take that long, is it?
You might want to pick it up a bit. All right, never mind.
Go ahead, Mr. Van, take your time.
I still think... All right.
Jesus, Phil's staring at... I think his eyes are glowing almost purple.
Look at the eyes. The all-seeing eyes.
I'm kidding.
How can you kid, man? Your eyes turn purple.
Maybe you guys are hallucinating. I didn't do anything. So anyway, here's what happened.
You didn't sleep Tuesday night.
I got it, Margaret. I'll,
Let the man tell the story the way the man experienced it.
Yes, sir, General. I'm always here for you to do all the things you ask me to do, to be just another woman, just standing here waiting for you to hand me a scrub brush, a bucket. Oh, God.
Just that, dude.
Margaret, would you knock it off with the whole,
you guys gonna let me talk or not?
Go ahead, man. Yeah, that whole martyr thing.
The Martin thing?
The martyr thing. So, folks, just ignore that there's people here with me.
Phil's starting. Shh.
The other day...
About 10:30, I'm only kidding.
I'm gonna kick...
Wait!
Come on, Phil. Beat your ass myself. Don't start dancing, Bud.
Yeah!
Caught it with the left hand.
God damn it.
When you dance, the left hand comes out.
Was that yours?
It was mine.
Yeah, Jesus.
Hey, Bud, you know what? You do that, and she hits you, then I'm gonna have to call the cops one of these days on Margaret, okay?
What are you talking about?
If you do that again, I gotta call the cops. I can't let that happen.
Guess what? You think I'm doing it?
So you want to see me inside? You rat me out. You dirty rat fink.
Come on, hold on.
Better keep on doing it.
If I see anybody throwing another hand around here, man, so help me God, I'm gonna lose it.
Are you gonna tell people a story or not?
So what happened was... I'm driving back from my friend Don and Pam's house up in Sierra Madre, which is a little suburban town north of Los Angeles, which is where they have retired to. They got a beautiful little home there. And Don is also an officer with the Alumni Association from our old high school, LaSalle High School. And we do this auction every year, and we raise money for them. And I got a hold of this Santa Anita box. What's the story now?
Well, I mean, you got to tell me
your background.
Yeah, I know, but
this could go on for a long time, right?
Maybe.
Well, do you mind?
Yeah, I do mind if you...
There's a whole bag of Egg McMuffins out there.
We gotta...
Go get your Egg McMuffins.
Well, Phil... Go ahead, bud.
Here.
So,
did you get the sausage?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I got the Egg McMuffin. That's the one I want.
Shh.
I'm just eating my Egg McMuffin.
All I'm talking about is the muffin.
Are you guys going to talk or are you going to eat?
I swear to God, that's what I said. Damn it, Sally. You asked me to keep quiet.
Where's the special sauce?
The what?
Where's the special sauce?
I got you special sauce. Oh, I better not have said that.
Wait a minute.
Would you guys swallow your food?
Where do you get off saying I got your special sauce swinging? Where does that come from?
You were just talking about this.
Hey, Bud, you're spitting muffin and egg and shit all over me.
Yes, I'm telling you, just about as a head talk about.
You sir?
You can just...
Do you mind?
Sorry.
Maybe you should just go on with the show, Phil.
No, I'm going to tell this story now. So I'm coming back from Don and Pam's house. I went over there to drop off the tickets, basically, to the luxury box, because we're not going to use them. The Phil Henry Show is not going to use the box because of the problems associated with the Santa Anita. And, you know, it just, it's not something, it's not a promotion that I wanted us to be involved with at this particular time. However, we did have the box. Santa Anita graciously donated it for our auction. I bid on it. And the reason why I bid on it, I'm going to get to it. The reason why I bid on it is because the cheap creeps, I'm kidding, I'm joking. Even though we have a very well-heeled alumni association, apparently, I'm joking around. Anyway, nobody bid on the box, so I did. And it was a $2,000 bid, and we got this box for the thing. So I just donated it back to the alumni association.
Right, and and you were over there dropping the tickets off.
Yes, I was over at Don's and Don and Pam's house dropping the tickets off. And then we went out, we had some lunch and, you know, laughed it up, and as we usually do. Well, I hadn't slept all that well on Tuesday night. I hadn't slept very well at all for a variety of reasons. One of my problems is I drink coffee. I think I've overstated that whole thing about how...
You're talking about your ulcers.
Will you guys swallow, please?
Yeah.
When he says swallow, it's okay. When you say it, bud, I kick your finger.
Wait a minute, Margaret.
What did you get off with that? It's so swallow. Well, go ahead.
So, I forget where I was now.
Talking about, you went down and you had something to eat and it was laughs, and you don't sleep very well because of the coffee and the alpha waves. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
What's your problem?
Will you guys either eat and swallow or just shut up? You know, I think I'm going to not do the show. Margaret.
Sorry, you've got Rory McLeod wrote today's show, folks.
Yeah, see how good it's doing?
I'm ad-libbing this part. Anyway, I get in the car and I'm driving home. I was very tired. And I've been tired before, as we all have. And we've all driven when we're getting ready to, you know, it feels like we're going to fall asleep. And, it, you know, you got to be alert. If you know you're tired and you're driving, especially you're driving, I'm going about a two-hour stretch, maybe an hour and a half. I'm going from Sierra Madre all the way out to Port Hueneme, Ventura County. And that's 50 minutes. That's a long way. It ain't anything that I'm not used to driving. But, you know, you got to be alert. And especially when you're tired, you got to tell yourself, you better keep your goddamn eyes open, excuse my French, or pull over and take a nap or something. I don't know what happened to me. As I left their place, it was 2:30 in the afternoon, and it is a pretty solid wall of traffic. It's not, you know, it wasn't bumper to bumper, but there's a lot of traffic between Pasadena, California, which is essentially what we're talking about, all the way straight on out to the outer rings of Los Angeles, up into Ventura and Santa Barbara. It's just solid traffic. It thins out a little bit as you get outside of the city, but not that much. And now I'm on the 134. I've left Burbank, Glendale, and I'm on my way into Hollywood, heading out to the valley, and then bang, the hell out to where I live. And I'm tired. But I was talking to myself, and I was playing music, and I don't know. I got into some kind of a mind loop. And the best way to tell you this is, when I woke up...
God damn! So that's what happened, huh?
Thanks for spitting egg all over me, Margaret.
So that's what happened. You woke up.
When I woke up. What woke me up, and what often wakes people up, is you feel the wheels going over those lane dividers, you know? I felt that ba-bump, ba-bump, and the car was drifting right. I was in a fast lane, and my car was drifting right. I probably wasn't asleep, if you will, if you want to call it that, for longer than three seconds, maybe. Just long enough for the car to suddenly, you know, there's no hand on the wheel, it's beginning to drift. And when I awoke, my car was slightly in the lane next to me, and a truck swerved, was passing me on the right, and swerved around me.
God damn it, sir. That's insane. No, sir. Yeah, we have a pepperoncini.
Don't eat the pepperoncinis. Those are mine.
You guys listen to this or not?
I'm listening to it, but he's in a pepperoncini.
Where do you get pepperoncinis at McDonald's?
That's a pepperoncini.
Sorry, I asked to unpack them special.
So while these assholes eat...
Oh my God, Phil, what a disrespectful thing.
Yeah, while these assholes eat, let me just finish my story. I woke up and this car was swerving around me. And I got to tell you something. The reason why these clowns, they heard the story already during the pre-show.
It's not a story. Margaret, calm down.
If you just tuned in, Margaret and Robert, they're all eating Egg McMuffin.
Oh, goodness.
And they're talking with their mouths full.
Wait, oh, talking with my mouth full? You think that's funny? So what were you thinking about?
Get off of him.
I don't like that, Phil.
Let him finish the story, will you? You know, I think it's damn selfish of you guys. You heard the story during the pre-show, and now I'm trying to tell the audience, and you guys won't shut up. No, Phil anything. You guys won't shut up. I'm trying to tell the audience a story, and you won't shut up. And by the way, today, folks, we have Chris Norton on, who's finishing up a new film for Throb City Productions called Booberella.
Yes, it's called Booberella. It's never been talking about them.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you're talking so much, Margaret, huh? You want to put off the inevitable?
Maybe, yes.
So when I woke up, the car drifted over these the lane dividers, and the car, this truck was swerving around me. And it scared the shit out of me. I mean, it scared the hell out of me. I'm waking up to the car drifting over these lane dividers. I'm in traffic, man. This isn't something where you know how you fall asleep. Say you've heard stories of people falling asleep at night and they hit the guardrail. Or they fall asleep at night, you know, and there's no traffic around them, but they're awakened by, if they're lucky, they're awakened by those lane dividing little reflectors. But I was in traffic. I was in midday traffic. And I'm telling you, it scared the shit out of me, man. So I kept my ass awake. And I told myself, I said, Henry, pull over, man, and fall asleep someplace. But I realized, I'm not going to sleep. I'm wide awake now. I mean, nothing was going to put me to sleep. I was that scared and that traumatized by this whole episode where you realize that my head had dropped to my chest. Because when I awakened, I was looking down, and I pulled my head up. So, you know what, man? You have to be asleep. I mean, you have to have lost conscious control of yourself enough so that your head has dipped down. And now the car has no controlling hand, and it's beginning to do this drift. It could have been more than a few seconds. Who knows? Maybe it was like 10 seconds. I don't even want to think about it, man. The thing that... The only saving grace out of this whole experience was that I'm telling you right now, I don't think I'm ever going to fall asleep in a car again. I'm sure as hell not going to be driving tired like that ever again. Because I know, I could have killed somebody else. It wasn't just me, but in all that traffic, as the car is drifting, let's say people were able to avoid me. Eventually, the car is going to drift all the way to the other side of the freeway. It's going to hit a guardrail. It's going to be side over side. It's going to flip. There's not a goddamn, doubt in my mind. And then you're running the risk of hitting who? Anybody. And if I survive that shit, I don't know what happens to me.
Let me tell you something, friend. That's a manslaughter charge.
Yeah, first degree manslaughter. No question.
How do you know about it?
Yeah. How do you know about it?
I don't know. I was just...
Oh, he's back to eating.
Yeah, well, you go ahead and eat your Egg McMuffin, bud.
I'm just tired. It's just my idea, dude.
What?
I can't. It's just my idea, dude.
Man, swallow your food, dude. It's just my idea about it.
All right, fine. That's... Who knows? But,
God, Phil. Who knows?
That's right. Who does? So, I don't know what happened. When I got home, I texted a couple of friends of mine. It's like I needed somebody to know what just happened, And I don't know.
Well, you said you thought it wasn't a near-death experience.
No, it's not near-death the way people die and...
Well, what do you call a near-death experience?
Like when a cat dies and he sees the light.
What? That's death.
Oh, that is dead, Phil.
I don't know, but I... Well, no, it isn't, because those dudes, they come back. So it's not death.
Yeah, but they did... They did die.
Well, what do you think it is, Missouri?
That's what I think it is.
Phil, that's what I think it is. You know, I know you don't like me reminding you.
That's what I think it is. Falling asleep in a car, but the fear that it put in me was... I could have died. There's no question about it. So when I got home, I texted a couple of friends of mine because I felt the need to let I felt I needed to tie myself to the earth somehow. You know what I'm saying? In other words,
like if you texted these people, someone else knows that you almost checked out.
Yeah.
All right. Figures.
Yeah. I'd probably do the same. Well, maybe I wouldn't do the same thing.
Well, that's what I did. And that's where that's at, man. So that was jacked up, man. But, you know, I my sleep is all... Everybody that's ever listened to me for any length of time, you know that I've got a weird, really weird sleep patterns, and there you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was a... I'm not minimizing it, Phil, but we do have to get going. We have Chris Norton joining us today to talk about the next... This is the second in his trilogy. Am I right about that, General?
Why would you ask me? I don't know.
Well, I believe there's a trilogy, right, Phil?
Well, I know there was...
Climbing Rexrod's Mountain. This is Boomerella.
Oh, yeah, Breasts of Breasts.
That's right, Brexit Breasts. So this is the Chris Norton in the body of work. In the Chris Norton chronology and filmography. Filmography.
Ah, my ears.
Margaret?
Sorry. This, then, is part three in the filmography, the triumvirate trilogy. Who gives a shit?
Right there. Who does? Talking about this guy like he's Alfred goddamn Hitchcock.
Let's watch the language. We'll be right back, folks. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton coming up next to talk to us about Boomerella.
The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by
Mr. Meat, with five locations. Hamburgers, hot dogs, pork chop sandwiches, a chop sandwich, chopped meat, pork chops. What other kind of meat is there?
There's fish.
No, we don't do that bullshit.
Mr. Meat, five locations in and around Southern California.
Just tell them Mr. Meat sent you.
You're Mr. Meat.
No. No, no way. No, no, you're not hanging that on me.
I'm Margaret Gray for the Phil Henry Show website. Do you have a subscription? You don't? What a cheap creep you are.
Get the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass, a subscription for 1 month or 1 year, and you are in, friend. You're in like Flint. 35,000-plus hours of stuff there in the archives to go in and luxuriate in. There, that's how you do that.
Sorry, folks, I wasn't aware of all of that.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com.
Yeah! All right.
That's called Caffeine Dream for a DA Dad. Here's Phil Henry.
Thank you very much, bud. World famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to get Chris Norton on here in a moment, but I just wanted to let you all know that Chris has, not only is he from going to be talking to us from the set of the movie that they're making, Boomerella, but he also has some sound effects. He's got some clips he can play.
No, he's got some of the soundtrack.
Or some of the film itself?
Yeah, it'd be sound from the film since we're doing an audio thing here. All right, joining us from the Throb City Studios in Redondo Beach, California, is we got the music playing. Now, this, by my understanding, Chris, is this music plays constantly.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Ring?
Good.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. I just want to say to everybody, Margaret and Bud and Robert, a very good day to you. Yeah. Your question.
You play this music?
Do I play the music?
Is this music's playing constantly?
Yes, that's correct. This music does play constantly in and around the studios of Throb City.
Wait, you talk about a studio, man. You have a studio.
Yes, what do you mean? Who was that? Was that you, bud?
Yeah.
What do you mean I don't have a studio?
What studio have you got?
We've got a couple offices. Okay.
Well, you're in the business park over there, right?
Yeah. But that's not an office?
Well, all right, so you've got a couple... look at Chris. I've seen photographs of your studio. You've got... It's all cement. You've got two chairs and some cameras.
Yeah, and we got a green screen, too.
Yes, you have a green screen. So while you do have some office space you're renting, it looks like it's very under-equipped, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, I was gonna say under-equipped. That's not a bad idea for a movie, is under-equipped.
What's it called?
Jesus.
Bud, don't get so excited. What's it called?
What's it called?
What's your story, man?
Margaret said under-equipped.
Under-equipped. Don't do it again.
Wait a minute. Come on, Margaret.
Yeah, Ms. Gray. You know, I want to do a film. I'm not trying to say anything, Ms. Gray, but it would be great to do a movie with you called, you know, under-equipped. Well, I better not call it that.
Why would you call it under-equipped?
But it wouldn't be a sex movie. It would be a movie of... It would be sex and violence, but you'd be the violent... You'd be the violent one.
I know. Why don't you call it The Violent One? The Margaret Gray Story.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. I mean, we'll see. We'll just wait and see, you know, what my next project's going to be. I'm not exactly sure, because I know you were talking about my trilogy and everything.
Well, Chris, don't get too excited about that. I was trying to give you some respectability, some mainstream cachet. Yeah, you understand what I mean by that, right?
Mainstream cachet?
Yeah, mainstream cachet, meaning you're not just Chris Norton, some slob that works for a pharmaceutical company doing phone sales. You are an auteur, a director who has a body of work. One who is working on a... Every great director has his trilogy. All right, you know, Sergio Leone, Phil, had...
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Good, the Bad, yeah, Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah, and a Fistful.
What do you mean? You know, I don't like the way you say that.
Wait a minute.
That doesn't mean a Fistful.
Yeah, that's the name of it, Fistful of Dollars.
Oh, man, he had a Fistful of Dollars. He had a fist. You know, that's not a bad enough. I'm beginning to say, now the wheels are turning.
Oh, great. Now Norton wants to do a movie called Fistful. I can well imagine what that's about.
No, not what you're thinking. Now, are you saying I'm not talking about grabbing money?
I didn't think you were.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about sticking it?
That's pretty much, yes, Chris, where we're going with that.
Yeah, it was great. You were thinking about it, too?
I know what this bum does for a living. You know something, Phil? I want to kill it so bad.
Hey, bud, what are you trying to bait her for?
Yeah, bud, you're trying to get your ass kicked.
She belted you one, you know...
Yeah, well, maybe it...
What is your story anyway, man? You look like you want to get your ass beaten to death.
Hey, bud, listen, just take it from me, man. Don't. It's not worth it.
Well, should I...
Hey, should I just send you home? Should I send you home?
No.
What are you looking at me for?
Should I send you home?
How dare you think this is my problem?
Miss Gray, I mean, I'm a witness to it. You were kind of baiting him.
Should I send you home?
Yes, as a matter of fact, send me home.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, I
want to
go home.
You don't get to.
Well, what?
He's going to fire you if you leave.
God, Mr. Henry, working with you would confuse me a lot.
What happened there?
I don't know. I've got my mind is not working good since I started writing this film. You know, you talk about falling asleep. I almost fell asleep the other day, but I wasn't driving a car.
Where were you?
I was just sitting at my desk, but I almost fell asleep at my desk.
Well, it's hardly the same thing as falling asleep in a car, but I understand. You were fatigued, right?
Yeah, I was very fatigued.
From writing the movie?
No, I just hadn't slept, and I'd been drinking the night before anyway.
So you weren't doing anything, you were just a bum, and you were tired from being a bum.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
All right, we're talking to Chris Norton here. Now, Margaret tried to give you a little love there when she said your trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought about it that way.
Well, hold on, we were on Sergio Leone's trilogy.
All right, Fistful of Dollars, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and For a Few Dollars More.
What? You never heard of that?
You've never heard of For a Few Dollars More?
No, it was Fistful of Dollars, a Fistful. Man, it's not called Fistful. I didn't say it's called Fistful, I said.
Hey, bud, you're full of crap, okay? There's no such movie.
Wait a minute, man. The Good, the Bad, and the...
It was a good, bad, and ugly. I know that one. And we were going to do, in fact, Mr. Aaron, we were going to do a commentary on that called Fugly.
Called what?
Called Fugly.
Oh, Fugly. This is what smartasses like Chris, guys that think they're all that, that's what they call a lot of girls. They're fugly. They're fat and ugly. And I find it to be so contemptuous. It's beneath contempt to talk about a woman that way.
I wasn't even talking about a woman that way. I didn't know that that's what it was applied to.
But what do you think Fugly means?
It was going to be about a news anchor, Chad Fugly, you know.
You're making this crap up as you go.
No, I'm not, Mr. Anderson. I swear to God.
You're talking about Chad Fugly.
Yeah. It's tonight. It's Chad Fugly and the Fugly Report. And then it would be about his sex life, yeah. But then you get back on set. It's Fugly. Tonight, you know, it's Fugly tonight, you know.
You are making this up as you go along. You didn't want it to just be about fat and ugly girls.
No, I swear to God.
You've never heard the term Fugly.
What? God, that's what you sound like, Miss Ray. You didn't understand me.
Have you ever heard the term Fugly, you jackass?
Yes, I have.
All right, then don't screw around, man. Let us know you know what we're talking about.
That's right, but you're not going to call it that.
No, I mean, you just gave me the idea about it. And my feeling is I should do the Chad Fugly. Forget it.
Yeah, let's get back to whatever this garbage is we're talking about. You got a new movie out. And,
No, it's not out yet.
No, you're still in principal photography, from what I understand.
Yeah, we are still in principal photography. It's called Bubarella. And I play Restaurant, obviously. That's who I play. And I'm flying through outer space. And I'm going to take on Bubarella, but I'm not taking her on. She's not my enemy. Bubarella is going to be the queen of planet Seth. And she also has her sidekicks, like, there's Bubarella, then there's the second queen, there's the second queen consort, and then there's like the king, and then the king's thing. And
what does that mean, the king's thing?
That's the king's, you know.
His penis.
Yeah, but we've got some great actors and actresses in this. We got Emily Baboum.
Emily Baboum.
Yeah, and by the way, we were also able to nail down, excuse my French by this, but we were able to nail down Rachel Rimmermolia.
Oh, that's great. I've never heard of her.
Oh, really?
Who is she?
Rachel the Rimmermolia.
Oh, yeah, I know who she is. She was in Rim Job 3 through 6.
Yeah, she was in the first two.
And isn't that great? Who else?
Oh, God, Mr. Henry.
Are you directing this?
No, Bob Meade's going to direct. I wrote and I produce, but Bob Meade's coming in.
Bob Meade, so he will not be performing?
No. I know that disappoints a lot of people.
I don't care, Chris, believe me. And if you say I do, then I'll come through the phone on your ass.
All right, I didn't...
Yeah, Ms. Gray.
No, not Ms. Gray anything.
Hey, I want all of you guys to quit, you know, zeroing in with your jokes on Margaret. Do you understand?
I didn't say anything.
I haven't said anything since we had the McMuffins.
What?
Then that's for you, bud.
Hey.
Well, I thank you, Phil. That was very chivalrous.
Anyway, I mean, I'm just saying that we've got some Bob Meade and I told you, Emily Baboums and Rachel Rimmermolia, who, yeah, she was in Rim Job, so what about it?
Well, I mean, God, man. You know, she's been in a lot of movies. Aren't you going to try to get someone that doesn't, it's Road Hard and Put Up Wet?
What a dickhead.
Wait a minute.
Bud, have some respect.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, in a way, I understand.
No, you have respect for women. Oh, I have respect for women, huh?
That's a hot one. We're talking to a porn producer. Respect for women.
Wait. Are you trying to say me that I have no respect for women?
I'm saying anyone...
No, wait a minute, Margaret. Wait. Let's... I don't want to get too heavy here.
Yeah, Phil doesn't want to go into this conversation because he doesn't know where he's going to wind up with this.
Hey, I'll tell you where to wind up. I have all kinds of respect for women, and I always will. Okay, Russ Rod, or I mean Chris Norton is me, but Russ Rod is me too. I don't know.
Yeah, the Me Too kind of threw you off, didn't it?
I've never sexually harassed any woman. All the working conditions at a Throb City production are top of line. They're top of the mark. You know, they're just...
All right, man, I believe you. We're talking to Chris Norton here about Throb City. I mean, excuse me, about... what's the name of the movie?
It's Bubarella, man.
Yeah, Bubarella.
Bubarella. Now, obviously, you know, does it follow the same sort of plot lines that Barbarella did?
Does it follow what?
Does it follow the same plot lines that Barbarella did?
I mean, what is Barbarella?
You're kidding, right?
No.
Barbarella is a real movie with Jane Fonda.
I mean, I've...
You never heard of Barbarella?
No, I never heard of Barbarella.
Dude, how'd you come up with Bubarella?
How'd I come up with what?
How'd you come up with Bubarella?
I thought of it, man. I sat down and go, I'm going to call a movie Bubarella.
Well, you know what? You must have heard of Barbarella then. Why would you call it Bubarella?
Because it sounds like an explosion of boob. In other words, what I was looking for was a movie title that sounds like it's just boob. You know, Boobs on Parade or something like that.
Then why didn't you call it Boobs on Parade?
Because that's been done. I wanted it to be outer space. I definitely wanted it to be in space. You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right, so you want it? Why didn't you call it Boobs in Space?
No, man. Look, at Throb City. Throb City is a cut above. If you want a movie called Boobs in Space, or you want to go see, like, a friend of mine... I don't know if you know Terry Towel, Mr. Henry, but he did a movie called Vagina Lockdown, and I'm like, what? So what, man? He said it's a bank robber movie. All these women are nude. They rob a bank nude, you know, and just before they make their getaway, they stop and have an orgy scene there on the floor in the bank lobby, and then they stop having sex, and they leave. But the police are able to track them down by they found the vibrators that they was using.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but... You know, Mr. Henry asked me about this.
I didn't ask you about this, but, I mean, what's the point?
What is it? So, Vagina Lockdown, huh?
Yeah, so it's a bank robbery.
Yeah, all right, so they had a lockdown at the bank, is that it?
Yeah, how'd you guess that?
Well, what? Come on, man. So it's nude women robbing a bank?
Yeah, but hold on for a minute.
Gotta slow down, Chris, okay?
Sorry, but you guys were talking about Bubarella. And you said, why don't you just call it, you know, boob bank.
I didn't say that, but the, you know, I understand the thoughts of others.
Now, there's a good title, boob bank.
No, I don't want to do that.
All right, well, then what's your point of vagina lockdown?
Because it was a stiff, man.
Yeah, stiff, I'll bet. It probably produced a lot of stiffs.
You know something, man? Remind me never to hire you for any writing.
That was a pretty good line.
No, it wasn't. And you know what, bud? If you don't clam up and stop trying to impress everybody with your wit, it's really going to tighten my jaws.
Yeah, well, just shut up, okay?
I mean, you're talking about stuff, man.
You're telling me that that's not a good line. That was not a good line.
What?
I forget.
Dad, good. Keep forgetting.
So I'm saying that vagina lockdown was too pedestrian, and it's stiff. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. Stiff.
What? You're stiff?
Would you guys give me a break?
Come on, goddammit. I'm going to go in the bathroom and throw up.
Well,
it's stiffed. He's saying the movie stiffed.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the movie stiffed.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the movie.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, bud. And you know that, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and I'm going to go outside because it'll save me from a homicide charge.
I heard that.
You go ahead.
Yeah, that's great, man.
So, anyway, so yeah, I wanted to avoid that, and I wanted to go with something that was a little more floral, a little more just kind of like, and it's called Bouvarella, so, I don't know.
Now, you say Bob Meade's directing.
Yeah, Bob Meade's directing.
And I understand that Mr. Meade is standing by. Bud, right?
Yeah, Mr. Meade's standing by. He's right now on line 4 if you want to talk to him.
That's cool, I'm hoping that Bob's...
Hey, Bob, it's Phil Hendry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Bob, this is Chris.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing?
That's going good, man. I was talking to Phil about how you're going to be directing Bouvarella.
Yeah.
How you feel is, you know, going?
How you doing?
I'm great.
How you doing, Mr. Herring?
Yeah, I'm great. How's the principal photography there on Bouvarella going?
Well, how you doing?
Hey, knock it off, man, will you?
I'm sorry, Mr. Herring. That's not Bob Meade. That's a friend of mine. They were trying to...
Well, Phil, you got to just get him back on the line.
Yeah, Chris, I don't want to talk to Bob. Mr. Meade, are you Mr. Meade? Yeah? Are you direct? Yeah, hey, Chris, cut it with the jokes. Mr. Henry's pissed off, and he's really pissed off. Yeah, he is. He's pissed off as hell.
All right, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
Do we have Bob Meade, or do we not?
Yeah,
he's right. He's standing with me right here, Mr. Henry. Bring him on. Come on, Bob.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Bob. It's Phil Henry. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good.
I want to thank Chris for giving me this opportunity. I think
you deserve it, for sure.
I went in on this. Are you Bob Meade?
Yes, the one and only. How are you?
I'm good, Mr. Meade. My name is Margaret Gray. I'm one of the panelists on the Phil Henry Show. So you're directing Chris's Bouvarella.
I am indeed, and I'm quite grateful to Chris for giving me the opportunity, because I've been performing, you know.
Oh, so is this your first time behind the camera?
It is indeed. Chris felt that he wanted to devote more time as a performer and a writer, and also as the executive producer, so...
I feel I wanted to devote more time to it, you know?
Right, and so I'm directing the film, and I also think, and I'm not trying to criticize, I think the film probably needs a steadier hand than perhaps what Chris is able to lend, because here's the reason I say that, Chris, if you don't mind.
I mean, you're trying to say I'm a bad director.
No, I'm not saying you're a bad director, but the film needs a disciplined hand. It needs someone, first of all, the film needs someone with a free hand, and most of the time when Chris was directing, for instance, when he directed us on Res Rod, climbing Res Rod's mountain, he's got the other hand going, that's what, you know.
Oh, that's such a lie.
No, it is not a lie.
Well, aren't you talking out of school here?
No, I don't think I am, because what I'm going for here is real honesty, and I want an honest background. I want honest communication, and I think being on the radio here with you, Miss Henry, Chris is not able to avoid this, are you?
You're saying that when I was directing you in restaurant, climbing a restaurant mountain, that I'm spanking?
With the other hand. That's why I said you needed a free hand. That film needs a free hand.
This film needs a free hand?
Yes.
Because both of Chris's hands were occupied.
One was holding a cup of coffee, the other one was going, durr, you know.
Oh, Jesus. What are you, some kind of a joker meat?
Am I some kind of a joker meat? You know, smile when you say that.
Bob, why don't you go ahead and oil the cameras or whatever the hell you got.
Oh, you keep...
Just go, man. I've got to finish. I'll finish. It's Bob Meade. Yeah. Great. It's great to have you. You're one of the great directors.
Bullshit.
Well, that guy sounds like he's out of control.
It sounds like to me.
Although he has a good point. If you were... You didn't have a free hand on the last movie, huh?
I mean, to say that I didn't have a free hand is not quite accurate, okay? Yeah, there were times I was not drinking coffee. There were times I was not...
What are you doing, man? You got some kind of a weird addiction?
About what?
Well, you stand there, you said you're spanking it.
Like one day, I spent the day just grabbing it. And Meade, well, he'll never let me forget it.
All day long, this guy is playing with it.
He'll never, ow.
That ass, he just hit himself in the mouth with a telephone.
Hey, Bob, if you want to come on, why don't you just come over here?
All right.
No, don't. Stay over there and finish what you're doing.
I'm looking at the daily.
You're looking at today's film?
No, I'm looking at the daily newspaper. Yes, today's film.
Either he's on the phone with you or he isn't.
Ms. Vermeer said you either got to come over here or shut up.
Well, he can stuff himself too, can't he?
I guess you heard that.
Yeah, I heard it all right. We're talking with Chris Norton from Throb City on his new film, Booberella. This has been the most bullshit. And you know, Rory, I'm sorry. I took Rory's entire script.
Don't say you.
And I'm doing this.
I took Rory. Rory wrote an improv script for us called Booberella. Rory McLeod.
Oh, this was Rory McLeod's work.
Yes, I told you.
Well, I thought we were going to have... I didn't know we were doing that today. I thought we were just rehearsing.
No, this is... It's an improv.
I told you it's an improv.
You didn't understand that, huh?
I did not understand that, no.
I did. But, I mean, there's got to be structure to an improv. There's no structure to this at all.
I know what I'm doing.
That's great, man.
All right, so in other words, you guys had no idea where this was going.
Phil, I know where it's going. It just doesn't seem...
I know where it's going. It doesn't seem like a good place that it's going to.
Yeah, that's how I was thinking. I know where it's going, and I know where it's been. And that's where I'm at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I... Yeah, I understand.
Rory, we'd like to apologize to you for making garbage out of your improv script.
It was a good... It was an improvisational script, too, Phil. He gave you bullet points.
I understand that, but I wasn't prepared to have Bud knocked out cold.
All right.
In the script that Rory was... His bullet points, he wanted you knocked out cold for a half hour.
Oh, God, why did you rob me of that opportunity?
Yeah, you know, Miss Sarah, you'd have to call a cop, because I know on other shows...
I'm well ahead of you. Yeah, I would have had to call the cops. I would have had to have you put in jail.
For what reason?
Knocking a guy out for a half hour?
God damn.
Yeah, that's a pretty serious assault.
Well, is that the only problem with the script?
Hey, man, why don't you get over on the phone or on the mic or whatever?
I'm over here looking at the dailies, as I said.
Okay, well, I've heard enough of Bob Meade.
See you later, Bob.
What?
See you later, man.
Anyway, Booberella, we can do this much of the script. Booberella.
Booberella is going to be out and ready to go. And like we call it, we said, Booberella, she's pulling them out June 5th. At the Academy Theater in downtown Pasadena.
On June the 5th, down at the Academy Theater downtown Pasadena.
That's correct, yeah.
She's pulling them out.
Booberella is going to flash it on June 5th. I think it...
Yeah, great. Okay, Chris.
What's the problem?
You don't think Flash Friday is a little bit, kind of over? Been there, done that?
Well, I mean...
That was Opie and Anthony, wasn't it?
It was, yes, no. Whip 'em out Wednesday was wow. And Flash Friday was something else.
Yeah, I think Flash Friday was like, it was like Tom Tedesco or...
Tom Likas?
Yeah, I think that was Flash Friday.
Yeah, but Whip 'em out Wednesday was Opie and Anthony.
What are you assholes talking about?
I just threw some bologna at him.
All right, Chris, good luck with Booberella.
Oh, wow, man. You're gonna leave me now? The audience thinks I got no control of the production. Bob Meade is over here with bologna on his face.
Where does she live?
Who?
Bologna.
Let me out of this place before I go nuts.
I think Phil was traumatized by almost falling asleep and crashing his car. That's what I think.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Today's show was written by Rory McLeod, although butchered alive by me and the...
Hey, speak for yourself, pal.
I think I did a very excellent job.
No, I don't think I did a bad job.
And I thought I did a good job.
Yeah, so I guess Phil did a bad job directing it. When did
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry. Today's show was written by Rory MacLeod and butchered alive by Phil Hendry.
All rights reserved for Siempre Incorporated on Podcast One. My body matches my leg.